Chapter 8, A Matter of Life or Death. The trouble began at dawn, when the four dust covers and weary riders stopped briefly to snatch a meal at an inn. "Don't unsaddle the horses," called Athos as they hurried inside. Another traveller turned up as they were having breakfast. He sat watching them quietly. As they left, the stranger stood up. He picked out Porthos, the loudest and most swaggering, and said, "Good health to the cardinal." Instantly, Porthos's face flushed with temper. "I only drink to the king." "Then you are a fool," cried the stranger, drawing his sword. Porthos drew his, crying, "You insult me, sir." "Calm down," hissed Aramis. "This man is deliberately picking a fight." But nothing could stop Porthos when his blood was up. Besides, his honour was at stake. Athos sighed as Porthos and the stranger fought all around the kitchen and out into the garden.
"Just polish him off quickly," yelled Athos, "and catch us up."
So now the Queen's messengers were down to three. They galloped on. 3 miles further, the road narrowed. 8 workmen were digging it up with picks and shovels. The riders had to slow down their horses to get past. Suddenly, the workmen threw down their tools and made a dive for their muskets, hidden in the grass. "It's an ambush," cried Athos, as the first shots rang out. The three riders spurred on their horses, but before they escaped, Aramis got a bullet through his shoulder. Bleeding, he clung on to his horse, but by the next town he was too weak to ride. "Leave me here," he told the others. "I'll only slow you down." So now the Queen's messengers were down to 2. "We'll ride across country," said Athos. That way they might avoid Rochefort's traps. It was getting dark. The horses foamed at the mouth, ridden half to death. Their riders were almost falling off with exhaustion. "We must water and feed the horses," said Athos, "and get some sleep." They stopped at a tiny country inn, but the cardinal had spies in the remotest places, and by sheer bad luck, the landlord of this inn was one of them. At first, the inn seemed safe. D'Artagnan and Athos put their horses in the stables and managed to grab a few hours' sleep. As dawn broke, they got up to ride onwards to Calais. While D'Artagnan went out to fetch the horses, Athos paid their bill. As he handed over the money, the landlord took 2 pistols from his desk drawer. "Put your hands up," the landlord ordered. Then 4 more armed men burst into the room. Before they seized him, Athos managed to yell at the top of his voice, "They've got me, D'Artagnan! Ride for your life!" Outside with the horses, D'Artagnan heard his friend's cry. He hated to leave Athos like this, but the musketeer could look after himself. The queen was helpless, surrounded by spies and traitors. D'Artagnan sprang onto his horse and galloped away. So now there was only 1 queen's messenger. D'Artagnan reached Calais without any more trouble. But at the town gates, his exhausted horse could not go another step. He had to leave it to recover. He hurried on foot to the harbour, taking a shortcut along the beach. Suddenly, a man leapt from the grassy dunes with his sword drawn. D'Artagnan glimpsed dark hair, pale skin. That scar. "Rochefort," he breathed as he drew his rapier. Ever since they'd first met at the Jolly Miller, D'Artagnan had vowed to cross swords with this man. But now was the worst possible time. Once the tide turned, he couldn't catch a boat to England until tomorrow. Then he'd be too late to return the diamonds in time for the ball. Rochefort was one of the best swordsmen in France. His smile was cool and confident. He was thinking, "It won't take me long to kill this troublesome boy." But D'Artagnan had learned a thing or two since he'd been friends with the 3 musketeers. Rochefort skipped back as D'Artagnan launched a furious attack, his blade flashing in the air. Rochefort hadn't expected such skill. He parried, lunged, but D'Artagnan slipped in under his guard and with 1 thrust ran him through. Rochefort collapsed in the dunes, holding his side. But D'Artagnan didn't feel the satisfaction he'd expected. He was too worried about getting those diamonds. He hurried away to get the ship to England. The Duke of Buckingham was dining in his London house when a servant entered the room. "My lord," he said, "there's a young Frenchman downstairs. He's jabbering away, waving his arms about, very excitable, if you ask me. But it seems he's brought you this letter." The Duke took the letter. He was going to put it aside to read later. Then he saw the seal. Feverishly he tore it open and scanned the Queen's note. He sprang out of his seat. "Show the young man up," he ordered his servant. "Instantly."